I want to spend just a few minutes here today looking into the Word of the Lord and what it means to us and how we can apply those principles to our lives. Thank you again for being faithful to the house of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're reading verse 7. And it'll come up on the screen if you don't have it on your device or your Bible. But let's read it out loud together. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Just about every word there we can emphasize and choose as a theme and a topic to preach about, but I just want to focus on treasure. Treasure. Treasure is both a verb, something we do, and it's a noun, something that we have or see or possess. And thank the Lord that God's Word lets us know how powerful what God gives and blesses us with in the treasure. We have this treasure. Praise God. And thank the Lord for it. You can be seated. God bless you so much. And thank the Lord for His goodness. Now, in the season of permanent fund dividend, you know, it's funny how the rest of the country envies us, I guess, here as residents of Alaska, and thinking about what we're going to do with all that money. Well, we're going to pay for our expensive oil, our expensive gas. That's what we're going to do with it. It's really not extra money, not mad money, as some would term it, but very much essential for each family. And we thank the Lord for it. And I thank you for your giving in that area as well. But it's so easy to get caught up in materialism, because that's the way our society is. You're going to measure your worth by what you possess. Now, it's not a blessing to be poor, not necessarily a blessing to be wealthy. It's what you do with it and your outlook and how you manage those resources. I know there are isms that are being tossed about in society today, in socialism and so on. Materialism certainly is an area that we've got to be careful on, because treasures on earth, the Lord said, can be changed. It can be gone in a moment. It can happen very, very quickly. And He talked about moths and rust and thieves, and then your treasure is gone. Your closet invaded by moths, your metal possessions afflicted by rust, and someone knocking in your door. You know, home invasions are something that's very real today. And we've got to be aware and careful to protect our families and our belongings. But that's not what life is all about. Someone asked about the death of a rich man. How much money did he leave? Of course, the answer is all of it. He left all of it. He didn't take a cent with him. Nothing at all. And the words of the wisest and richest king, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes 5 and 15, says, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. This is actually a reflection and a confirmation of what Job said. Job would declare, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though he may have lost his wealth, though he may have lost materialism, he held on to his faith in God. Held on to his integrity. Held on to his walk with the Lord, his faith and his trust in God. Paul affirmed this outlook to his protege, Timothy. He said, we brought nothing into this world, And it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. And I know that the media mocks ministry today and declaring that ministers and churches are money hungry and so on. And the pick, click, and give signs that you see, I don't see very many of them on churches. I see a lot of them on different organizations. But I thank God I can invest in eternity. I thank God that I can have a look and not what is going to pass away here, but what is going to be forever over there. Praise God. And that's what we want to invest in. Having treasure is not the problem. What the treasure is, where the treasure is, makes a difference here or there. And the Lord emphasized treasures in heaven are not going to be changed by moth or rust or thieves. I thank God that there's a heavenly place that contains riches beyond our imagination. Gates of pearl. My word, how big is that? Crystal sea. Walls of jasper, streets of gold, gold so pure it's transparent. Amazing, incredible. That's not what the treasure is, however, that we want to see when we get to the other side. Thank God we're going to be able to worship Jesus Christ forever. We're going to be able to give thanks for his name, for every healing, for every deliverance, for every prayer that has been answered, for our sins being remitted in the powerful name of Jesus Christ when we've been baptized in that name. Oh, thank God that we can obey the word of the Lord and know how powerful it is to be blessed by God. My loved ones are there. You talk about laying up treasure in heaven. Thank God that I'm going to be reunited with family members who have gone on. Souls that I help pray through to the Holy Ghost and I encourage to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to meet them on the other side, those who have gone ahead. Praise God. And the real treasure, Jesus, the one who gave himself for us. Praise God. So when the Lord said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He was making a connection to help us to understand where we need to put our focus, where our priorities need to be, where our emphasis needs to be. And thank God there is a treasure that he has provided for us. Let's take a look at some people who recognize treasure is not here in this world. Moses, born a Hebrew, a male Hebrew that had to be thrown into the Nile River by order of the Pharaoh. 3 months old, his mother was able to contain him, but pretty soon it became obvious we're not going to be able to hide him. So she made that ark. She made that little basket. Oh, my, I can imagine the tears that must have fallen from her face, from her eyes upon that little basket, and she laid that three-month-old baby in there and took it down to the river, pushed it out into the current. And it went downstream a bit and got caught in the bulrushes. And then Pharaoh's daughter happened to be there as well. Heard the baby crying. You're familiar with the story. Told their servants to fetch it. She said, oh, this is one of the Hebrews. And Miriam just happened to be there, an older sister. Should I get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? Yes, Pharaoh's daughter agreed. And I'll pay her. You talk about God having a sense of humor. The very one who commanded the child to be destroyed, to be given up, to be drowned. The very one who was trying to annihilate the Hebrew nation was now paying the same mother to care for her own child. Praise God. Talk about God taking things that the devil meant for evil and turning it for good. There you are, right there. Amen. That's what God can do. And thank the Lord. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's palace, and Stephen gives a history lesson in Acts 7, and he declares that Moses was trained in all the wisdom and knowledge of the Egyptians. Just think what that means. Think of the engineering classes that he took. Think of the anatomy and chemistry that he learned. Think of the mathematics and diplomacy and all of the government agencies that he would have knowledge of, how he gained expertise in all of those areas, and how he was able to step in to the privileged class of Pharaoh's government and palace. But there came the moment that he began to look at it, and he began to understand and realize there's something different about me. There's something that my mother told me when I was there on her knee in her home. There's something that I recognize that does not fit with what the Egyptians are telling me about who God is. It's not the Nile. It's not the moon. It's not the sun. It's not a cat. It's not any of these objects that are worshipped by Egypt, but it's the eternal God. Amen. And thank the Lord, there was something that grabbed a hold of Moses and helped him turn from the treasures in Egypt. He recognized the pleasures of sin are for a season, just here for a short while, and then they're gone. God, help us to understand there's a treasure in heaven that we can't give up, a treasure in heaven that we've got to keep our eyes on, a treasure in heaven that's got to be our priority. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to be turned aside. I'm not going to be detoured away into what the devil would have to deceive me with. I'm going to hold on to what God has provided and the blessings that he's given. Praise God. Moses recognized there are greater riches. And it's odd that he identified it, as the writer of Hebrews says, the reproach of Christ compared to the things that he had at his hand and his fingertips in Egypt and Pharaoh's palace. But praise God, he understood and recognized there's something greater. And oh my, what God did for him to help him to lead the people of Israel into the promised land, and how the Lord would guide and direct and provide in such a wonderful way. Thank the Lord that he understood what he needed to treasure was the things of God. So that brings us to the question, what do we treasure? What do we call the best thing that has we've ever obtained? One man defined success as simply being with his family. Wasn't being on the job, wasn't being making the thousands of dollars and so on. We thank God that that's possible. And God bless Solomon. God bless Job. Nothing wrong with being wealthy, but certainly priority. Priority. Praise God. I'm thankful we can treasure our spouse. Oh my. That's got to be an understanding and an awareness and an action that we follow through on again and again, because the devil is definitely after destroying marriages, definitely after the aspect of doing away with that. Anything that God put together, that's what the devil wants to take apart. And marriage and family and church and home, all of those things, the devil wants to tear them apart. But thank God we can treasure what God has put in our lives, and especially our spouse. We treasure the Word of God. We treasure the name of Jesus Christ. We treasure the Spirit of the Almighty God that fills us. We treasure working and walking with the Lord in His majesty. We treasure the church, the people of God, so much that we can treasure. The Lord said, there's a treasure in the field. Now, in the field, what was that treasure? Here in Alaska, we consider gold and other minerals to be a treasure. There's oil that we treasure, and we just reap the benefits of the abundance, I guess, of that oil. Real estate, we've got a lot of it. Treasure it? Well, there's a treasure in the field that the Lord talked about. And he said the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. And when it's found, when a man finds it, he hides it and with joy goes and sells all that he has, because he needs that capital. He needs those funds because he's going to buy that field. He's identified there's a treasure in that field, and in order for me to obtain it, I'm going to buy that field. So I'll sell every possession I have. I'll get rid of everything that I have because I focused on that field. I want that treasure. Yes. And with joy, he does, because he knows that treasure is so great. Praise God. You ever wonder how people would act when they find a treasure? What their excitement level would be, what evidence of surprise perhaps on their face, what their behavior would be if they find a treasure. Are they going to act dejected? Are they going to be despondent? Are they going to be depressed? No, no, they're going to be excited. They're going to have just exhilaration within them. Praise God. And they're going to desire to tell about it. I have this treasure. You know, trash your treasure. People going about on Saturdays from house to house where these sales are. And you find something that is exceptional, something that is valuable, and you can get it for a dollar, a treasure, and somebody else considers it trash. You can go down the road here and to Tommy Cooper's and when he's open, and go in and see the mold of a 12-ounce nugget that he found. 12 ounces. It'll fit in the palm of your hand. It'll fill the palm of your hand. Pretty amazing. And he found that in the tailings of an old mine in McGrath. McGrath, Brother Rick? That's where he was. He and his friends, with their metal detectors, going through the tailings that are the rock thrown out that has already been examined for nuggets and gold and so on. And he found that nugget. Now, does Tommy show it off? Does he display it? Does he talk about it? Will he tell you if you ask him about it? Oh, you better believe he will. What do you do with your treasure? See, do we really treasure what God has given to us? Do we display it? Do we talk about it? Do we let others know, oh, this is an incredible treasure. This is amazing. This is way beyond anything you may have heard about or you may have experienced. Praise God. Thank God for the treasure that the Lord has provided. Now, Tim Tebow is a football player, and he won the Heisman Trophy as a sophomore, and I think he's the only one who's done so at that that level, and that's the trophy that can bring back a lot of memories, the national championship, all of those kinds of things. How amazing! But he understood that's something I can change into dollars, and so he auctioned it off, and he got $1 million so that he could support kids who are in need. You know, he's recognizing what the treasure really needs to be. And every child that he helps, everyone that he makes a difference for, every family that is ministered to will be so thankful that Tim Tebow recognized the Heisman Trophy. Oh, my, that's incredible. Only one football player a year is awarded that. But he was willing to let it go because there's a treasure in helping those kids. Oh, God, help us to remember the treasure that God has given to us. Amen. And the power that is in that treasure. Praise God. And how there needs to be an awareness of how we can joyfully get rid of everything so that we could possess the field that has the treasure. Enduring what may come in that field. All the bugs. All the snakes. Thank God we don't have those in Alaska. Thank the Lord that there's the whole aspect of it doesn't matter what's there in the field. I know the treasure's there, and I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to be blessed by it. I'm going to know what God has provided. Now, let's consider some of the treasures that the Lord identified, that he treasures. The scripture tells us in Jeremiah 10 and 13, it names some of the elements of weather, and then it identifies the wind and how the Lord brings forth the wind out of his treasures. And it's repeated later in Jeremiah 51 and 16. Just interesting concepts here. How can the wind be a treasure from the Lord? The natural wonders, the signs and wonders that he would do in the spiritual realm. Thank God that there can be an understanding of how God will use the natural and move us into the spiritual to help us to understand this is what's important. This is what we've got to focus on. I'm thankful for that being the wind that he pulls out of his treasure. Now, hurricanes are happening. We see the devastation in Florida and South Carolina, and I know that there would be those who would say it's God's fault. Why did God let this happen? You know, in the same breath, they can be so thankful for nature. They can be so thankful for Mother Earth. They can be so in love with that and say, that's what I worship. And, well, they wouldn't identify that as what they worship, but more or less that's what's going on. But when it comes to a disaster, it's God's fault. Not nature's fault. Not the way the weather patterns work. Not the way things are happening in a natural sense. No, it's God's fault. Oh, I'm thankful that I know that the Lord is able to bring his power and his blessing forth and the wind out of his treasure, because God would use it as an example of what was going to take place. Nicodemus came to the Lord, a ruler of the Jews. He came by night. He wanted to give compliments to the Lord. The Lord didn't even acknowledge his compliments, didn't return the compliment. He simply said, you must be born again. And I can imagine the confusion on Nicodemus' face. The candlelight, the firelight that may have been reflecting on him did not hide the confusion and the puzzle that was on his face. Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. See, that's what he was making the connection. That's why the wind can come out of his treasure, because it can be a spiritual wind as well that the Lord would blow into our lives with refreshing. And so he said, after he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, being born of the water, after he commanded them to be filled with the Holy Ghost, being born of the Spirit, that's what it means. That's how the apostles fulfilled it. That's how we see it fulfilled in the book of Acts, example after example after example. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. There's a sound that comes when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You speak in a language you don't know, because that's how it was shown in the book of Acts. He went on to say, you can't tell where it came from concerning the wind. You can't tell where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Thank God, born of the Spirit is possible for everyone. No one needs to be left out. No one needs to be exempt. Thank God it can come to everyone. And again, the book of Acts demonstrates it's for man, woman, and child. It's for everyone. Praise God. The wind blows and you can't tell its mysteries. You hear the sound of it. Everyone born of the Spirit is going to have that experience. We don't have to analyze it. Just receive it. Praise God. Just believe it. Just let the Lord happen. I know Nicodemus asked twice, how? He didn't understand it. He couldn't make the connection. He couldn't transition into the spiritual from the natural. But thank God, the Lord can bring about that difference. The Lord can bring about his salvation. The Lord can provide in a wonderful way. God bless Nicodemus. He was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. Nicodemus was at the tomb when Jesus was buried. And I hope he was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost and received what the Lord told him about in John chapter 3. Thank God for the power of the Lord and consistency in the Word of God that we know is the treasure. There came a sound from heaven, the Bible says, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, thank God for the fulfillment of the promise of God bringing forth his treasure. Amen. They spoke in languages that others recognized, not gibberish, not something that just made up. No, there were 15 nationalities there gathered for the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And they said, how come we hear them talking? They're Galileans. We know that. We can tell by the way they dress and the way they act. But how do we hear them speaking in our tongue? The wonderful works of God. They understood what was being said. And then Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Thank God it's still happening. We have this treasure. Praise God. Earthen vessels, that's us. It's of God. He's the one who brings the change. He's the one who makes the difference. He's the one who provides the transformation. He's the one who takes away the old. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are made new. Is that what the Bible says? Oh, yeah. And thank God we can let it happen. We can let the power of God take place. We can become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about moved into that transformation of how the Lord is able to bless and how the Lord is able to move, because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. Now, Paul's writing this. Paul, the apostle, who was known as Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 8, holding the garments of those who stamped the life out of Stephen, the young man filled with the Holy Ghost. And he prayed, Lord, let not this into their charge. That must have stuck with Saul of Tarsus. He couldn't shake that. He couldn't forget the image of that young man having the life crushed out of him as stone after stone smashed into his body. And then his final words. That shouldn't be the way it happened. He should have been cursing. He should have been upset. He should have been condemning those who were stoning him. But no, the power of God was in him. A treasure was in Stephen that made him react differently than anything that Paul had ever seen before, or Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. Now, Saul of Tarsus treasured being a Hebrew, treasured being of the tribe of Benjamin, treasured being a Pharisee, treasured following the law and considering himself blameless in all of it. But that wasn't what God wanted him to treasure. God wanted him to move into a new experience. And thank God, he was able to respond as the Lord shined the light upon him on the road to Damascus. You could read about it in Acts chapter 9 and how he would ask, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord saying, I am Jesus. Oh my. The I am would resonate with that Hebrew. It would cause him to understand there is something more powerful going on here than I even realize. And all of his teaching, all of his learning, all of his understanding of who the I am is now identified as Jesus Christ. And he would write about it. You can find it in the passage that is contained there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And that light has now shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank the Lord that we know he is God manifest in the flesh, that he is God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Thank the Lord for that kind of power and that kind of change and that kind of treasure that can come in our lives. Paul would tell about that treasure. He couldn't keep it quiet. You can't keep quiet about a treasure. You got to display it. You got to tell about it. Praise God. And he told about it. The Jews of Jerusalem, along with the soldiers and the centurions who were gathered in Acts 22, he talked about that light shining from heaven, a great light above the brightness of the sun, the voice that he heard, how Ananias came to him. Thank God for the body of Christ that can minister to others who are trying to find the treasure. Ananias came to him declaring, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, thank God for the power of the Lord. When Saul of Tarsus received his sight, received the Spirit of God, rose up and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What power in that treasure that would come forth. And we know the blessing of the Lord. And Paul would continue then to write about it as Jesus being the treasure in Colossians 2 and 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, I thank the Lord that there is that wisdom and knowledge that God imparts, not what the world would present, not what the world would treasure, but what God would treasure. And how important to heed that and to let it lead you to that eternal home. So how much do we treasure what God has given to us? How much do we treasure the treasure? Now, God treasures you. Exodus 19 and 5, he told The people of Israel, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Is there value in obedience? Oh, yeah. There's a huge return that God is going to minister to you. Then you shall be a peculiar or a special treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Praise God. So what an incredible miracle to bring Israel out of Egypt. But how many years? That probably only took, well, only a few days. But then to get Egypt out of Israel took several years. Thank God he has taken us out of the world and given us a treasure. God help us to respond when he's trying to take the world out of us so that we can keep the treasure. Amen. And let the Lord bring that transformation in our lives. You see, you are bought with a price. A treasure has to be paid for, and he paid for it on that cross, giving his blood, surrendering his all, declaring it is finished, and then giving up the ghost. Thank the Lord. He would impart that salvation to you and me by the power of his name. He told his disciples to go forth and preach the gospel of the kingdom. They came back so excited. They came back thrilled. They had joy. They understood the power of the name of Jesus Christ. They reported to the Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. See, that's why baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is so important. Cale, that's why you can call upon the name of Jesus Christ and know that you can defeat the devil every time he comes against you, every time he tries to lie to you, every time he tries to deceive you. No, you let him know, I've been called by the name of Jesus Christ, and I rebuke you now in that powerful name, because the devil is subject to you through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. The disciples were rejoicing. The Lord said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not in that. Rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Thank God for the treasure. Thank God for the power. Thank God for the blessing. Thank God for the goodness that we find in him. That treasure. Praise God. Amen. He wants to treasure you. And oh, how we need to respond with letting the Lord know, I treasure you, Lord, above everything else. I treasure your name. I treasure your power. I treasure your spirit. I treasure your word. I treasure your blood. Oh my, how powerful and how wonderful the glory of God is. Now remember, we're just earthen vessels. Power's not with us, not from us. But when we receive the treasure, that power is there to manifest itself in every circumstance, in every situation, in every need. And thank the Lord, it's there to minister because it's excellent. Not mediocre, not mundane. It's excellent. Excellent power. That's what God imparts. That's what God wants to give. Amen. And thank the Lord. There is that strength that he continues to provide. I saw online, what if Jesus gave a TED Talk? You know, a TED Talk is when they invite some expert and they talk about technology, entertainment devices, and so on. Doctor Who should give a TED Talk, talk about his invention. It's an honor. But I'm glad Jesus doesn't give TED Talks. I'm glad he comes when you're suffering with cancer, when you have cancer, when you have cancer. I'm glad he comes and he changes you. He heals you. And medicine's not able to do it. Things that man's technology designs is not able to do it. Jesus comes with his healing touch. I'm thankful he takes care of every condemnation. He takes care of every memory. He takes care of every sin, every mistake, every failure. And he forgives. Praise God. And he moves us into a new realm. TED Talk, entertaining, probably ingenious, unique. But oh, I need something far more than that. Thank God that he provides it by the power of his name, by the power of his blood, by the power of his spirit. Thank God that he fulfills his word again and again. That's what I need. That's the power that he can provide. That's the blessing that he can bring forth. And I treasure it. Praise God. Stand with me, please. Now we're at the moment, we're at the time, we're at the place where you have the opportunity to treasure what God has given to you. Or if you haven't received that treasure, oh my, it can happen in the next few minutes. Treasure beyond your dreams. Treasure beyond anything that this world has to offer. A treasure that can give you peace when your world is upside down. A treasure that can order your steps when you don't even know what tomorrow holds, but you hold the hand who knows the end from the beginning. That's a treasure. A treasure that can give you strength to overcome. A treasure that can deliver you from any addiction and any affliction that the devil tries to bring forth. Now that's a treasure. Praise God. And thank the Lord. We can have it again and again. Renewed again and again in our lives. Hallelujah. Thank God for his power. Thank God for his blessing. Thank God for that treasure. Can we thank him together for it right now? Oh, Savior, we love you. Oh, Jesus, we glorify you. Lord, we lift you up and we praise you now. Thank you for the treasure that you put within us. The excellent power, God, that you make available. Let that power move and work within us, God. Let that power all the needs that we have. Lord, let that treasure be what we talk about, what we tell about. Let that treasure, Lord God, operate in our lives for your glory. That your kingdom would be lifted up. Your kingdom would come. Hallelujah. All the honor, all the power, all the glory belongs to you. We thank you. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Praise God. Please come to the front here now as we join together in prayer, as we desire the Lord to minister in our lives. We receive that treasure in a greater manner. Please come. We want to pray together as the worship team sings. We give our worship and our praise to the Lord. Thank God that we can know his goodness to minister in our lives.